Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. Amen. Good evening. How's everyone today? You are a scattered bunch. I must say, all over the place. I'll try something different over the next little while. And it is based on a very simple philosophy. The philosophy is this. If you give God a chance to move, if you provide an opportunity, then he will. It's true. I think it's that simple. I don't think that there's anything that is... that there's anything other than that, because we all know that anything that happens of any kind of lasting value, of any kind of revival that takes place, we're kind of along for the ride. We're obedient, we follow in obedience, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's going to happen because God says we're going to happen. And so what we want to do is we want to begin to have a time where perhaps we take away any kind of distraction and just have a time to pray, have a time to focus, have a time to lay hands on people, have time a time to pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and particularly tonight to have people to be healed. How do people get healed? Well, as far as I know, and I have been a minister for 32 years, there is a bit of a thing to it. I think what basically happens is a bunch of people who believe in Christ come together. And they lay hands on an individual, and they pray that God would heal them, and they are healed. I think that's the formula. I'm not too sure. There might be something. You might be here, and you may know something else. I don't. So let's give God a chance to do this, okay? I believe that God heals. I have seen God heal. My wife's mother was healed at the Catherine Kuhlman Crusade. She had cancer, and she went all the way to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to be prayed for. She was prayed for. It changed her. It was the starting for her her mother and her father, who were Catholic at the time, to change their whole world around. And they began serving Jesus, and great things happened. I remember being in a service as a kid, a young teenager, and there was a healing evangelist who had came forward. It was a female, and she said, "There's somebody in this room that this week you got a test that there was a lump on your chest, and they think that it's cancer, and there's no doubt that there's in. If that's you, come home here." And that's what happened. This lady, her name was Hilda. And she was the caretaker's wife. They're well known in the church. And what they did is they prayed over her, and they said, "Now go to the woman's washroom, and tell me if that lump is still there. If that lump is still there, then we're going to come. We're going to pray for you again." She came back, and there was no lump there. Isn't that great? Now she died, but she died like 30 years later, and she didn't die of breast cancer. See, I believe that God heals. I also believe in the power of corporate prayer when it comes to healing. I think there's something about people gathering together, laying hands on each other for the prayer of healing. I think that God is glorified that way. I think that God many times heals in the crowd. Isn't that interesting? You stop and consider it? And all you got to do is take a look, open your scriptures, you'll find that healing is all over it. One particular passage of scripture is one which is a prophecy that Isaiah is talking about, Isaiah chapter 53:3, I guess we'll say verse 3, says this: "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." You ever heard that before? Now, there are a lot of scholars who take a look at that passage and they say, you know what, that basically is about spiritual healing. It's not about physical healing. And what they say is this. They say, well, you take a look. He was wounded for our transgressions, which is basically spiritual healing. He was bruised for our iniquity, which is basically spiritual healing. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. So that's kind of like spiritual healing, and that's just, and by his stripes we're healed. Therefore, you got to come to the conclusion that he's not talking about physical healing. He's talking about spiritual healing there. And I kind of looked at that and thought, well, you know, maybe there's something to that. Until you read 1 Peter chapter 2. When he quotes that verse and he says, by your stripes you are healed. But in the Greek, he is talking about physical healing. So somewhere along the way, Peter did not get the bulletin saying that it is only spiritual healing. So the conclusion that you come to is that there is what I would call a redemptive provision in what is called the atonement. The atonement is the process that Christ did in dying on the cross so our sins could be forgiven. That this is what this passage of Scripture is about. But somehow there is a fringe benefit that is somehow allowed in it which has to do with healing. And so what we do is we pray for people to be healed. I'm convinced over the fact that there are like 72 places in all of the Bible where people are healed. Now, those are instances, but in some of those instances, like 12 people get healed of leprosy. And there's times and instances in Scriptures where it says that Jesus basically healed everyone in the village. So not only is it just one time, but it is all the way through Scripture that he heals people. And I don't believe for a second that the Bible gives us a book full of healings. Healings, 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 and people are healing, and Jesus laid hands on people. Jesus' most effective means of evangelism was healing. Was. I don't believe for a second that all the Bible is a book full of healings, but for today, that doesn't necessarily apply. No. He has given us a book full of healings so that we will believe that healing applies for today. Then, take a look at James. James chapter 5. Just as he's ending the book. And he says, is there any among you that are sick? Right? Can we go to that passage, James chapter 5? One more over. It says this. He says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Basically, he's telling them to call the elders of the church and pray over this individual. And the Lord will raise him up. And if they have committed, if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one for another and pray one for another so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That is what is in Scripture. This is what James is saying. If you are sick and you're really sick, what you need to do is call for some of the main people in the church and they will go, they will anoint you with oil, they will pray over you. And you will be healed. There is healing which is provided in the Scriptures which it talks about. There's clear. It's clear, isn't it? Yeah. Let's also talk about the fact that one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha. What does Rapha mean? The God that heals. So we're not supposed to believe that Jehovah, our healer, heals. It's just his name, it's just a name, God our healer, but don't really expect that healing takes place. No? Hey, you guys still out there? Hello? Echo? Echo? We serve a God that heals. It is proven time and time in Scripture. Just take a look at all the things that are there. And perhaps you're not so excited about that because you're sitting here and I'm kind of preaching to the choir. You're here and you're thinking, well, okay, tell me something I don't already know. I believe that God heals. And I think that he's going to talk in this particular room, in any room. I think there's three different types of people. And I believe that he heals all three types. The first one group of people is what I will call the unconvinced people. They're the ones who are kind of skeptical. It's not that they don't believe in healing. It's just that they kind of only believe that healing happens with someone else. Maybe they've been prayed for a number of times and it hasn't happened, or maybe the scientist has somehow won out in them and they've kind of lost faith at the moment, or maybe they've come to believe that prayer is the last thing you do when you're sick. Well, I've done everything, I might as well pray. where prayer has to be the first thing. Prayer has got to be something you say, this is the most powerful thing on earth. I need to pray. There's a story of a guy whose name is J.P. Moreland. Many of you don't know who J.P. Moreland is. But he's a famous Christian author and apologist. He teaches philosophy in a Christian school, and he's well known. And he tells this story that he was at a service in the morning, and he said, I kind of had this kind of tickle in my throat, and I thought it was nothing. Perhaps I'm coming down with a cold. And he said, then within 3 hours, I had full-blown laryngitis. He says, it was the kind of laryngitis where it feels like you're swallowing glass. You ever had that before? I have had that, where your throat is so raw and so sore that you can't hardly even talk. And so he goes to the walk-in clinic, and he's there at the doctor's, and the doctor says, you know what, I have bad news for you, because I've seen this, it seems, dozens and dozens of times. This is going around. You got this particular bug that is very, very evil. And what takes place is you get this incredible sore throat that leaves you with laryngitis, and it sticks around. It doesn't matter what antibiotics you take. It doesn't matter what you do. You will have a failure to speak at all for at least 7 to 10 days. So if you are a teacher or whatever, you better call the school and tell them that you can't teach, because everything that you say as you speak it out is going to be in excruciating pain. And he says, or whispers, he says, I can't do that. I got a class. My biggest class teaching is Monday. And so the next day I've got a 3-hour seminar that I'm going to be giving at church. I'm going to be letting everybody down. And so what happens is he goes to the evening service, Sunday evening service. And he kind of gets through the service because he is so sick. You ever have those times where you're just so sick that you're there and you're not there? And so he gets up, the service is over, he kind of waves goodbye to a few people, and he's about to get in his car in the parking lot. Brother Moreland! And he turns around, and he says, you know what, before you go, me and the other elder here would like to pray for you and pray for that terrible throat thing that you got. Well, of course, you know, being a teacher in a Christian school, you say, well, of course I'm going to pray. Let me pick up the story as this begins to happen to him. He said, to be honest, I wasn't listening to a word they said. I had already left the church emotionally and wanted to get home to make my phone call to cancel my teaching events and the seminar at the church. But something happened. As the two men prayed gently for me, one put his hand on my shoulder, the other one put his hand on the throat area where it was sore, and I began to feel heat pour into my throat and chest from the one elder's hand. After 2 or 3 minutes of prayer, I was completely, irreversibly healed. I started talking to my brothers normally, with no pain, no effort, no trace that anything had been wrong. I never had to make that call to the secretary. The laryngitis had never returned. Isn't that great? He works many times in those of us who are unconvinced. Are you here tonight, unconvinced? No? Okay, so that's not you. Maybe I'll get the next one, okay? How about the unenthusiastic? There are certain people who are unenthusiastic. As a matter of fact, they call themselves Christians, but perhaps they would better be known as practical atheists. You know, the practical atheists, they say that they're Christians, but they live their lives like practically God really doesn't exist. Maybe they have a faith that is kind of inherited, and maybe they had a faith at one point, but somehow, for some reason, something has taken place, and they aren't serving God the way that they used to. And yeah, I guess if you were to talk to them and they say that God heals, they would kind of say yes. But ultimately, at the back of their head, they may have never ever seen anything like that happen. And those people are around. The guy who was at the beautiful gate, you know, in Acts chapter 3, he had his hand out for money. He wasn't looking for healing. Jesus lived during his time. He wasn't healed even by Jesus. I'm not too sure if he even believed in healing. All he was looking for was a handout. I have a cousin. His name is Tyler. He has, well, now his wife, at that time, his girlfriend, went out forever. And wonderful guy. She's a wonderful girl. But both of them were at a point where they really weren't serving the Lord. Well, if I were to say that, they'd say that they were, but really they go to church and they sat at the back and they didn't participate, and I don't know whether they even prayed or read their Bible. And so they were in Niagara Falls. And for those of you who don't know Niagara Falls, it's kind of a neat area. It's built up quite a bit ever since, even since before I had lived there. But there's one particular busy road there. It's called Clifton Hill. If you're from Niagara Falls, have you heard of Clifton Hill? At the base of Clifton Hill is Niagara Falls, and there's a bunch of wax museums, and there's a bunch of, you know, tourist traps where you spend lots of money and get absolutely nothing. And, you know, that's just the way Niagara Falls can be. And so they were there because they had nothing to do, and they were just kind of looking for some fun things to take place. And there was a particular church that it was about 20 minutes away from Niagara Falls, and I knew the pastor and I know the church, and these were pretty bold people. So what happened was a number of them were there at Clifton Hill going up to people and saying, "Hey, I'm from this particular church, and I just want to tell you that we believe in prayer. And so I'm just wondering, do you need healing for anything?" And they kind of sat there stunned and looked at each other, and well, and then Nikki calls out. And she says, "You know what? There's something that happened to me when I was younger, and I got this in this accident, and my back is sore. As a matter of fact, I'm a hairdresser. I have never, ever, one day, ever worked without pain in my life. Standing, kind of half-bending, I've had this injury in my back, and it has never, ever gotten better. It is excruciating even to this day." So they looked at each other and said, "Well, would you mind if we prayed for you?" And they were kind of Christians. They knew they had been in the church system. They kind of knew how that whole system worked. And so that's what they did. They prayed. "Well, how are things going? How does it work?" And said, "Well, it still kind of feels the same." He says, "Okay, let's pray for you again." Here they are. Like, this is Clifton Hill. This is like 1,000 people walking by a minute type of thing. There's just a flow of traffic that's of pedestrian traffic which is taking place. And so what they do is they lay hands on her again, and she said, "The second time that they laid hands on me, there was this heat sensation that raced through my back. And I was completely healed, and I went back to work, and I could work without the pain." And my nephew, who I was a minister, said, "Listen, I'm going to tell you what happened. My Nikki got healed. We were at Clifton Hill, da, 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 da." He says, "All of a sudden, it caused me to realize that, you know what, I wasn't where I was supposed to be, spiritually." And then what happened is they began to go to church every Sunday, and they used to be involved, and they participated, and all of a sudden, church meant something different to them. And all of a sudden, they realized, well, we're together, but we shouldn't be together. If we're together, then we should be married. And so I think it was 6 months to a year later, I sat there in a chapel with them, traveled the 3 hours. I was living 3 hours away at the time. I gladly traveled the 3 hours home and did a wedding for this wonderful couple. It's kind of funny, the fringe benefits that happen when we pray and God moves, even for those people who may not have it all together, and they might be called what would be called not so much unconvinced, but what was the other term? Oh, unenthusiastic. I don't know what God's up to. I don't know how it's there. You might be here. Maybe you're brought by a friend, and you're not really too sure about this healing thing. But yet you're here, and there's something wrong with you. I want to pray for you tonight. You're not going to get anything from me, but you might get something from God. And maybe it's just the start of something, because not only does he want to heal you, he wants to be Lord of your life. There's one more. And that'll be the ones that I will call the undeterred. And the undeterred are those kind of people who have come up a number of times and they prayed and perhaps there was a partial healing but not a full healing, or maybe they're here and they fought a season of discouragement. Then they realize that Christianity and faith in God has nothing to do so much by what I see or how I feel, but what God's word says. So whether I feel like it or not, or whether this has taken place the last time or not, God tells me just to be obedient, to go ahead somehow and pray and believe every single time that something takes place. And sometimes the discouragement gets overcome by the word of God that speaks to him clearly. In the Bible, it talks about this. There's a girl who had what the Bible calls in the King James Version, it says an issue of blood. I'm not too sure exactly what it was. I don't think the Bible really tells us what exactly it is. We can speculate. 12 years. It's a long time, isn't it? But there was something in her that said, you know what, if I can even just touch the hem of his garment, something good is going to happen. And I would imagine if you're going to see a guy who sees miracles happen all the time, that he'll draw a crowd fairly easy. And I would imagine that as she was fighting through that crowd, it probably wasn't an easy fight. But somehow she got through. Somehow God did something. And something tremendous took place in her life. There's something that happens when we have faith. There's something that happens when we pray and come up, nothing happens, and we still come up the next time. And we still come up the next time. And even though it didn't work the last time, for some reason there is a faith in us that says, you know what, I'm just going to continue on. I'm still going to be faithful. I'm still going to do everything that I possibly can, because that's what his word tells me to do. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to somehow, in some way, minister and see how that happens. One of the first sermons that I preached when I was here had to do with Jesus' conversation with Peter. Remember, he's casting out the net, casting out the net, casting out the net, casting out the net, casting out the net. And God says, hey, go cast out the net. Well, hold on, God. I've been casting out the net at the time when it's the best place to catch fish and the best time to catch fish. And now you're telling me in the middle of the day when it's really hot and all the fish have kind of gone deep to cast out again? Yeah, go cast out again. Okay, God, I know it's not going to work. Everything says it's not supposed to work. But because you say so, I will do so. And all of a sudden, God begins to move. And that there's something about Peter that said, I'll cast out the net one more time. I'm wondering if there have been a number of us that have kind of lost that. I'll cast out one more time. Cast out one more time. And you might be here, and I don't know what you're suffering from, what's gone on in your life, what has taken place. But there's a thing that faith says is, you know what? I'm not too sure exactly why this hasn't taken place, but I guess it's not really up to me. I guess the responsibility for me is to go up and seek the healing. You're undeterred. I think God is somehow pleased by this thing called undeterred faith. Because it says, I believe in you, God, even though all the other times I've gone up, it hasn't really worked. That's what faith is all about. But there has to be a time where you say, okay, I'm going to step out. I'm going to believe in the impossible, because that is faith, is what faith is all about. So I'm not too sure which category you're in. But my plea for you is that if you need healing, to come on forward. Or maybe you are here and you have a relative, a mother, a father, a child, a cousin, and they need healing. And you say, I don't need healing, but I certainly want to stand in. Or maybe it's not physical healing, but it is a healing that you need just as much. And it's not physical, but it still is a healing that takes place. We're going to have the worship team come forward at this time. They're going to pray, or they're going to play, and we're going to pray. And we're going to touch, ask that God will somehow minister. God's going to move. It's 7 o'clock. It's 5 to 7. There's a guy, his name was Fred Craddock. I think that's his name. Yeah, Fred Craddock was a very popular preacher. He just passed away 3 years ago. But he tells the story of a young pastor. And he goes into an old age home where there was an older lady who was very near to death, and he does his weekly pastoral visit, and she's gasping for breath. She can hardly breathe. As he's listening to her and as he's talking to her, he's kind of thinking, you know, this lady doesn't have a whole lot of time. He says, well, it's nice having a nice visit with you. He said, before I go, can I pray for you? She said, well, yes, of course you can pray for me. He says, well, what would you like me to pray for? She says, well, I would like for you to pray for me to get healed, of course. And so he kind of gasps. And he says, well, okay. And he kind of has this prayer like this. Dear Jesus, if it be your will, I pray that you will heal this lady. But if it's not your will, that you will help her to be able to live with the situation that she is in. Nice faith, young pastor. Well, what ends up happening is she has a little bit of a cough and she says, hey, you know, I think I'm feeling better. As a matter of fact, I think God has healed me. And so she throws her feet off the bed onto the floor and she goes to the nurse's station. She says, look at me, look at me. I'm healed. This is so wonderful. Dancing all of this over elsewhere. They're thinking probably tomorrow, maybe the next hour, she's going to be dead. And so the pastor's there in amazement. I don't think she even realizes the pastor's not there anymore. Walks to his car, puts the keys in, opens the door, looks up to the sky and says, don't you ever do that to me again. You know what? I don't want to be that pastor. I don't want to be that guy. I don't care how big, how small. I don't care how serious, how impossible. I don't know whether you're here and you may have, the doctor says, I've got 6 months to live. I don't know what level that is. All I know is that God's word tells me that he heals. And I believe that he's healed. And I've seen God heal people before. And I can't do it on my own. And so it might be my faith that will somehow be exercised, or maybe it will be your faith that is exercised, or maybe it will be someone in the congregations whose faith is exercised. But what I want to do this Sunday, and what I want to do each and every other Sunday night, is to give God a chance. So you might be here, and you might be suffering. Come to the front. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that God is going to heal you. Perhaps you're here and you have been prayed over 1,000 times for God to heal you and it hasn't happened. Well, come to the front. We're going to pray 1,001. I can't guarantee you anything other than the fact that there is a God out there who heals. His word is all through the fact that he heals. It's not going to be me, but I'm going to give God a chance. Maybe you're here and you are aching for someone and you're saying, unless God somehow moves and works in their lives, then they're going to die a young death. And so I'm here standing in place for them. I'm here standing that God will somehow work and move and heal in that individual's life. Well, by all means, come forward. My hope is that all of our hearts will be bolstered at this particular time and that God will begin to move and do great things and do healings. And as that happens, a tipping point happens. As we continue to pray for God to move, and we continue to pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and as we continue to pray that great things will be happening, what happens is every week it's kind of long on the door, hitting the door, and then one day, somehow, somewhere, maybe even tonight, the tipping point will happen, and God's Spirit will move, and great things will take place. But it won't happen unless we don't stand up and walk to the front, or pray for those people who are at the front, that God will somehow do something special. Dear Lord, move. I pray for the power and the anointing and the presence of God to move at this particular time. I believe, God, that you heal. So there might be people who are here who are suffering from some type of an illness, some type of physical illness, some type of emotional illness. Maybe they're here and they're healthy and fine, but they have a son or they have a brother or they have a mother or they have a relative or maybe they have a neighbor and they are suffering. And so, Lord, we want to stand in for them. Whatever the case may be, God, I pray that faith will arise. I pray, Father, that you will begin to move in people's hearts. And God, as we anoint people with oil, as we pray the prayer of faith upon them, God, I pray that you will begin to move. We call to you, the creator of the universe, to begin to descend upon this place tonight, I ask. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'm going to hand things over. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook. Thank you.